The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:15pm. Mick Norton, Craig Forsyth and Darren Owen will be joining you in the studio for the action from Exeter and Toaster domestically. There's Irish racing from Navan as well, and we'll be live from 12:15. So tune in for all of that. Right now though, my name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio to look ahead to the action by Craig Forsyth. How are you, Craig?
Yeah, good afternoon, Mark. Looking forward to the action ahead. Busy week, which leads us into Hennessy week this week.
Yes, we've just had the Betfair Chase at Haydock just gone by on Saturday. Before that, we had Cheltenham, and we've got the Hennessy this weekend. Then we've got the Tingle Creek. A great few weeks of racing. And if we look at the Hennessy, just quickly looking ahead to it, I've got the betting from the site as well. And Invictus is the 7-1 market leader at the time of recording. Rocky Creek 8-1. Adrian's Approach and Lord Windermere are both tens. Our Father is tens as well. Highland Lodge 12-1 with Hublon Desobo. Merry King 12-1. Tidal Bay also 12s, and Imperial Commander in there at 14-1. It will be his final race of his career, so it'd be good to see him go out on a high note if he could do it. But from a betting approach, how would you approach this, Craig?
Yeah, obviously we'll wait to see the 5-day declarations on Monday, and then the final decks come Friday, Mark. But yeah, in terms of looking ahead 8 days in advance, the horse that catches my eye at these prices is John Joe Neils, and he won the big Saturday handicap, the Paddy Power Chase at Cheltenham last week. And Merry King's a horse I've had on my agenda for this race for some time now. He first caught the eye back at Bangor last year when he looked like he'd been jumping all his life. On that occasion, he won off a mark of 120, and he was very unlucky, narrowly denied at Newbury after that, and he went on to the Haydock and Heavy Ground, and again was a close second to Cannington Brook. I thought he made a real eye-catching reappearance at Ascot at the beginning of November, and he's on a nice mark here of 140. I think the trip will be right up his street. He's got bags of stamina. I think he's an exciting horse. He's still very much unexposed, and the yard couldn't be in any better form.
Yeah, flying at the moment, the John Joe Neils yard. Finished second to Hublon Desobo in the United House Gold Cup at Ascot, and he's in the lineup as well at the moment. Also 12-1. Do you see there being much between the two again?
Yeah, I think Merry King's a little bit more progressive.
Yeah.
I think, you know, where the Venetia Williams horse was, you know, fit and ready to go for that Ascot run, I think Merry King was there as a prep leading into the Hennessy, and I think that run will put him spot on. And like I say, I think he's open to a little bit more progress. He's certainly had less racing than Hoblon Desobo, and I just think Merry King, this looks like it's been a target for some time. I think the biggest danger may come from another inform yard, Emma Lavelle Highland Lodge. See, you know, the yard really firing this year. Something clearly amiss last year. And Highland Lodge certainly looked like he'd got his act together last time. And he's another one that's unexposed, on racing on what looks like a lenient handicap, Mark.
Yeah, and just a quick line on Invictus as well. Currently the 7-1 favourite, but making his reappearance. He hasn't raced since last February, so it's going to be a tall order, isn't it, to... Well, February 2012, in fact. So it's going to be a tall order to make his reappearance and win the Hennessy, isn't it?
It is, yeah. You know, he comes back on a mark of 145, and, you know, a lot of people will be looking strictly at the form book where he, when we last seen him running, he beat Bobsworth on that occasion at Ascot, and obviously what Bobsworth went on to do, you know, winning gold cups, etc., etc. But, you know, Bobsworth was nowhere near ready that day.
Yeah.
Nicky Henderson had stated and made it clear that he'd had problems leading into the race. There's no doubt Invictus is a horse, an exciting horse for the King Yard coming back after a long layoff. But to win a Hennessy after 20 months off is going to be some training performance.
It is, be remarkable, wouldn't it? Okay, so you're with Mary King, did you say then?
At this stage, yes, Mary King would be the one that appeals Mark at 12-1.
Okay, let's look at some racing a little bit closer to hand though. That's next Saturday. Let's concentrate on this Sunday before we get there. And we're going to look at three races at Exeter. Am I right in thinking, Craig?
Yes, starting with the 135 mark.
Okay, this is the Bathwick Tyres Plymouth Handicap Hurdle. It's a Class 4 handicap hurdle over the extended 2 miles and 7 furlongs, nearly 3 miles in fact. And a nice big field to go here. 16 runners, Craig. It's going to be something like 4-1, 5-1 the field. Plenty of value in there?
Yeah, obviously Bathwick Tyres sponsoring the race, and they also sponsor the David Pipe Yard. So I'm sure the Pipe Stable will be looking for a big run from Sir Frank here. He seemed to lose his way over fences in the springtime, but his two hurdle runs this year haven't been without promise. He bumped into Flicker Williams at Uttoxeter, who's gone on to rack up a hat-trick. And last time, again, ran really well behind Ballycullough, who went in again yesterday at Fosse Lass. So the form of those two races for the grade weren't bad. He's on a nice mark of 114. I think he's sure to run a big race tomorrow, is Sir Frank, but the biggest danger may come from another Alan King horse returning from a break of 404 days. You know, when we last seen this horse winning at Huntingdon, he looked mightily impressive, and a horse that was somewhere ahead of his mark. He took a while to get on top on that occasion. He beat Well Met, but when he did hit the front, he pricked his ears and he looked to win with an awful lot in hand. He has an absence to overcome, but he looks to come back into racing very well handicapped on a mark of 101, and I think he'll be the biggest danger to Sir Frank.
Okay, but you're siding with Sir Frank then, yeah? David Pipe, he's got two in the race, hasn't he? He's got Bladerzig in there as well with Tom Scudamore on board. First time cheek pieces for that one as well, so he's got a pretty strong hand in the race.
He has, yeah, and you know, I looked at the two entries in here and to see if there's any significance with the jockey bookings, yeah. But Tom Scudamore has ridden that horse on its last three runs, and Conor O'Farrell's ridden Sir Frank on his last three runs, so I think it's a case of you know, jockeys getting on best with the horses here, so they've stuck with them. So Sir Frank would be the one for me. Carries 11-11, he's got the cheek pieces on, ran well here last time, and the drying ground shouldn't be a problem.
Okay, so Frank then in the 135, on to the 205 at Exeter next. This is a handicap chase over 3 miles, and only five of them in the lineup for this one. And Son of Vic returns to the scene of a previous course and distance win, arrives here in good form as well after winning last time. Is he going to be hard to beat, do you think?
Yeah, I think he will be hard to beat, but there's some promising types coming up against them in the race, Mark, but he was very impressive winning on his return at Exeter when he beat Kenford Grey Lady. And, you know, I think they've been slightly fortunate for me that the handicapper has left them on a mark of 140 over fences. Kenford Grey Lady herself is a 140-plus horse. Maybe isn't quite as good over fences as she is over hurdles, but take nothing away from that victory. For Son of the Vic, he jumped superbly well. He's a thorough stayer. Yeah, I think he would prefer a little bit more cut in the ground than he'll get tomorrow. But I think the handicapper has taken a chance, leaving him on a mark of 140 tomorrow. You know, I don't think it'll be a walk in the park. We've got some promising types coming up against them. Oliver Sherwood's Kaz Badali returns to fences. Slightly disappointing when last tried over fences. We last seen him finishing tailed off behind Highland Lodge in the Spear. But he did bounce back to run a career best at Sandown in December last year. That was a very good effort. He looked all over the winner, Alan King's Ard Lewis, and he was just denied on the line. So he's an interesting recruit, back to fences off a mark of 129. And Philip Hobbs's horse, he looks every inch a chaser. And he starts off a mark of 127, which basically been handicapped over timber. I think he'll definitely improve from that mark over fences, but both will be up against it, against Son of Vicia, who looks to be back on track after a few niggles and injuries and some time off. But, you know, it was a real exciting victory on his return at the end of last month, Mark.
Yeah, and previously tried in better company than this for most of his career, hasn't he? So running in Grade 2 companies before. So yeah, Son of Vic then in the 205. On to the 235 at Exeter. We finished with a handicap chase over 3 miles. And Trafalgar's an interesting one here, Craig, because ended his 2011 campaign with a win at Uttoxeter. Then wasn't seen again until last month when making his reappearance at Worcester and winning there as well. So the a very long gap between the two. Now chasing a hat-trick.
Yeah, obviously the I think the horse is still unexposed off 124. I think he's still definitely capable of winning from that mark. The impression he gave when winning at Worcester recently, but the form of the yard would be a major concern. Only the one winner, I think, from the last 40 runners. Another well-fancied runner that ran on Friday at Ascot, Sir Bright, disappointed. There's been a few others to disappoint. African Gold being one, although I thought he definitely needed the run, looking at his appearance last week in the paddock. But the yard form would be a major concern for Trafalgar here.
Okay, so it sounds like you're going to take him on then, Craig.
Yeah, I think it's an open race. Dorset Naga looked to be an improving horse before falling last time at Wetherby. He steps up to 3 mile for the first time. His half-brother has won over 3 miles, so that looks like it could bring about some improvement. But he will need to improve to defy a mark of 1-2-2. I'm going to take a chance in this race, Mark, with a horse that could improve with better ground here.
Okay.
Didn't run any sort of race on his comeback over fences at Plumpton at the end of last month, but again, the ground was really testing that day. And Warren Greatrick's yard is really hitting top gear now. He's had 4 winners in the last week, and Barlow is his runner here, and a decent horse over hurdles, and he slipped to a good looking handicap mark now over fences itself, and he showed reasonable form over fences last year. I think the best of his runs coming at Newbury in January when he finished 4th behind Lock Bar, who's another improving horse for Mick Shannon. And you know, I think he's worth chancing now he gets to run on good ground again here. And like I said, with the yard in good form, he's reasonably well handicapped. You know, based on his effort at Plumpton, I think he'll go off between 12, 16, possibly even 20-1 in this race.
Okay, so nice bit of value there then in the final race. Let's just have a quick summary of your selections then, Craig, if you wouldn't mind, before you go.
Yeah, in the 135 at Exeter, we're going for the David Pipe runner, Sir Frank. In the 205, a good looking chase on the card, we're going for Paul Nichols, Son of Vic. And in the 235, we're going to go for the outsider here, a horse trained by Warren Greatrix called Barlow.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Craig. Enjoy on Sunday.
Thanks, Mark.
So there you go then, the thoughts of Craig Forsyth on Sunday's racing at Exeter. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 12:15 PM. Mick Norton, Craig Forsyth and Darren Owen will be in the studio for all of the racing. It's Exeter and Toaster domestically and Navan over in Ireland. So 3 meetings to look forward to. Make sure you tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.